بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Yo, where your hair go, bro? Hey, and for those of you that are on Spotify or whatever app that you may be, go on YouTube right now. This is the podcast that you're going to want to look at on YouTube, because we got a big change that just came. One unexpected change, and I ain't going to say who. All right, anyways.
It's a good look.
What are we talking about, bro?
Today we're going to talk about, you know, a lot of our audience, this was actually a request from someone that we met back when we did our trip at Yale. A lot of our audience is either going to university, graduating high school, graduating university, and he basically asked us for advice on to how can we find meaning in the day-to-day grind, and how can we really truly find ourselves after university. A lot of us go through these changes in our lives, and we never really actualize who we are and who we want to be and what we want to do. And how can we find meaning in that grind? And how can we find meaning in the, you know, peace, and combine that with Islam?
I think like the question posed is like, when you're in school, right, that's part of your purpose. So when you're done with school, like your main purpose really becomes Islam, or you start to really realize like life is far more than school. Because like for the first, 16, 17 years of your life, if you go from elementary, middle, high school, and then college, like all you know is school. All you know is assignments, projects, tests, exams, and all these types of things. And of course, Islam is there too. But then once you're done, now you have to figure out like where what's next in your life. Because some people, they end up getting married. Some people, they end up going to find a job, and then they start their life, and then they do all these different types of things. But it's like, if you don't actualize like the Islam within yourself before you do that and actually understand like what your true purpose is, then you're going to just start living for those same things. Mm-hmm. Meaning you're going to start living for that grind just to, oh, let me go to work, let me come home, let me go to the gym, let me go to sleep. And that's all your life is going to be known as. You're not going to be known as someone who's, you know, a Muslim first. You're going to be known as like a working class citizen. And that's not what you want, because that's not going to be fulfilling to you. And I think it's like an interesting thing, because if you think that we have it more figured out than you, you got another thing coming. We don't got it more figured out. Of course, like maybe you've seen us talk about Islam and you think like, oh, these guys have it figured out. But no, in reality, it's just that you don't take the grind that you have in school and, you know, make that what you're known for, or known for yourself, or who you think yourself to be, as someone who seeks to do well in school, someone who seeks to take this major that you're studying in college, and that's what you want to do with your life. What you want to do in your life is please Allah.
And I'll say this is something that starts for me, especially if I were to give any advice on this, it starts right now. It doesn't matter if you're in high school, it doesn't matter if you're in college. Your life, your ability to do good and your ability to excel and become like a better person starts immediately. Like it starts, like my mindset is throughout high school, like my life starts now. I'm in competition right now. I have to be waking up. I have to be working like right now.
You know
now.
Why? Because your book of deeds is open at that time.
Exactly.
Your test has already started, and you're not even guaranteed to finish high school. You're not guaranteed to finish college. You're not guaranteed that job. You're not guaranteed that X amount of money. But you are guaranteed is the fact that your book of deeds is open now. So now you have to go ahead and make Islam the priority in your life. And basically the way I look at it is like, if my job, if my school, whatever it is that I'm learning about is not helping me with the goals that I want, then it serves no purpose. I'm just sitting there wasting time. If I can't take anything from it, then what am I doing there, right? I need to go ahead and move on to something bigger and better, right? So if my goal is, okay, I need to get married, I need to start memorizing Quran, I want to do these types of things, and the school, the job, all that is blocking it or not making a way for me, then it serves no purpose for me. I have no reason to be there. You know what I mean? Because like, you don't want to sit there and waste years of your life and then regret it down the road, right? You always just, you want to understand what your goal is, and then you want to try and break that down into, all right, how am I going to achieve it? Do I need to go through this job, or do I need to go through this course, or do I need to take these types of classes in order to get there? And then that's how you navigate.
And I see the main thing especially amongst the Muslim communities, and especially amongst immigrant Muslim communities, is that you allow other people, other external influences to dictate your life, and it causes you to be extremely unhappy. The reality is, if you're a Muslim and you're not doing anything wrong, you're doing things Sharia compliant, and you have a dream and you have a goal, you have to figure out what you want for your life and what you want for yourself. And that might not be what someone else wants for you. And that's just the reality a lot of people have to accept. And that's why I see a lot of Muslim people, they be extremely unhappy in their careers and in their professions, because they're not doing something they want to do. And they're not doing, and it ultimately, it even helps, like it diminishes their relationship with Allah.
Dude, yeah, that's the thing. You know, you got to do things for the sake of Allah in ways that benefit you, because at the end of the day, it's not, those are not going to be the same people that are going to be sitting in the grave with you. Those are not going to be the same exact people that, you know, on the day of judgment, you know, they're the ones helping you out. You know what I mean? Like, you really have to truly focus on yourself, right? Because me, even myself, just coming from a family where it's like they want you to do certain things, and if you're not doing it the way that they want you to do it, then obviously, they look at you a certain way. Bro, at the end of the day, the way I navigate it through, I just filter it all out. Because, like I said, at the end of the day, when I truly need help with something, they ain't the ones that are going to be helping me, mm-hmm. right? So I got to just do what I got to do.
Mm-hmm. You got to actualize, like, who you are. If you want to find contentment in, like, your day-to-day life, even after whichever school that you just finished with, or even when the summer comes along and you're not in school, you got to actualize who you are, and you got to lead yourself with mercy. Just as Allah, like, leads things with mercy, we should be merciful with ourselves. But that mercy doesn't mean we should lie to ourselves. So in essence, if you have a bad habit that you don't like, let's say if you sleep late, you're going to wake up late, and you don't like when you wake up late because you're not very productive, then make that forbidden upon yourself. Make it forbidden for you to sleep late. And when you do sleep late, even still then, try to wake up early so that you don't reward yourself for sleeping late by waking up late. Meaning, if you like to wake up at 8 a.m, but you slept at 2 the night before, still wake up at 8, because that's going to help you build the discipline to ensure that these habits that you want to break, they're not continuing in the cycle. But when you're constantly lying to yourself and allowing yourself to slip up, of course we can always seek forgiveness from Allah whenever we've done wrong in something that Allah has made forbidden upon us. But if it's something that we made forbidden upon ourselves, meaning going out and having a cheat meal every single day when you're trying to be disciplined in the gym, who are you really hurting then? You're still hurting yourself, even though maybe Allah's not going to punish you for that one specific thing.
But yeah, here's the thing. Like, does it not bother you that you're just sitting there wasting your time? Like he's just said, you do all this work in the gym just for you to sit there and have a cheat meal every single day. So it's like, you're not going anywhere, and you're putting all this work in for what? Or you make a lot of money and you just spend it all, right? You know what I mean? Like, things like that.
Look, I want to reiterate this point. Nobody's going to care like you care. You have to view yourself as the last line of defense. No one's gonna come bring you out of bed, take you to your job. No one's gonna force you to stay disciplined and not take cheat meals. No one's gonna force you to go to the gym. So if you're not following through with your word and your actions, like, when will you ever follow through? Absolutely. Like, it's a detrimental state of mind, because you can, if you're as a person, if you're swayed every other day, you're here, you're there, you're wishy, you're washy, you're on the spectrum, you're not disciplined, you're not focused. What, like,
you allow the people around you to knock you off the path?
Exactly. You're not even, at that point, you're not living your life. You're living somebody else's life, and you're living a different life every other day. And that's why a lot of people, they have this struggle, they don't really know who they are.
Let me also bring up, like, since we're young, and we're on the topic of school and, like, finding balance through the everyday life, you have to also understand that you're a very emotional person while you're young. And, like, you may be tended to lead your life through these emotions, through the way that you're feeling. I mean, like, you can feel distant from Allah, you can feel close to Allah, and that may dictate how much dhikr you do on that specific day, or how much Quran you decide to read. And you shouldn't allow yourself or your emotions to dictate the way that you act. And what I mean by this is that if you constantly try to develop your logic and your reasoning, because Allah also speaks about logic and reasoning and pondering and reflecting a lot in the Quran. He doesn't talk about feeling, except for when the Quran is recited to you, then you feel that the closeness to Allah.
Fear, yeah.
Yes, you feel the fear, or you feel you're in awe of Allah and His words and His majesty. That's a feeling you should have when something like the Quran is recited, or maybe when you're making dhikr. But not necessarily when you're feeling down a certain day, so you allow your day to go to waste because, oh, I wasn't feeling it that much this day. Real, in reality, all this is about discipline. The religion of Islam is meant to build your discipline. So if you constantly make Islam your number one priority, no matter where you are in life, whether you're young or whether you're getting older, whether you're seeking to get married, if Islam is your number one priority, you're going to be led throughout life in the exact way that you're meant to and the way that you want to be. Because I'll give you an example, especially for us as young people, we may think that we're mature, our maturity level is proper enough for us to seek out the maturity level of another person, meaning we want to get married. But now you have to assess, is this marriage something that you're seeking out of lust because, oh, I just want this companionship. I just want, you want some of the little things that come with marriage. You don't want the entire picture, right? You're not worried about the responsibility. You don't think about it. You don't ponder on the problems that may persist in a marriage, right? Is one problem going to turn you away from this person? If they have a disagreement with you, are you guys going to turn away from each other? How are you guys going to lead differences in the religion? How are you guys going to lead differences in the way that you love each other? All these types of different things. And it was something that I saw with even within myself when I was like in college and stuff. I was just like, I understand I want to get married because you can't date. It's haram. It's haram to have a female friend and all these types of things. So I understand, oh, I want to get married. But then I was just like, I didn't actually internalize what that meant. What is a marriage actually like going to do for me? But as you get older and then you start pondering upon it a little bit more and upon yourself, because if you naturally seek to get closer to Allah for these little things that you want, especially within the halal, then you're going to actually find out exactly what you're looking for, and you're going to find it out in a way that's better for you. But if you don't, then you're going to go the path of shaitan. Shaitan's going to beautify marriage for you in a way that it's all this romance. It's what these couples and these people put online, what the movies show you, and that's all you think of these types of things to be. Same thing with everyday life. They show you all these luxury things, and you're like, oh, I'm going to grind out. I'm going to go do this and this. Like, I'm going to go start my own business, but then you don't actually internalize how hard it's going to be. You don't actually look at the responsibilities that's going to come with you running your own business or you going out and working for yourself, and how hard that can actually be upon your mental, your spiritual health, or how it can affect you in your relationship with Allah.
And that's a common thing here. A lot of people, they accept the good, but they try and neglect the bad. But the reality is life is both ends of the spectrum. Like, I'll give you an example. People see our social media, they see what we have, and they think they'll make thousands assumptions of about us. But you'll never see a bad assumption. But we know it personally. We know it better than anyone. And it's not everything you see on social media.
Right. There's always a, you know, cringy cliche saying the grass is not always greener.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. We all know this concept.
Yeah.
Anyways, just speaking about being led by your emotions, you know, there's obviously plenty of days when we don't feel like doing anything. I'm gonna be honest with you. Most days I don't feel like doing anything. But guess what? I still got to anyways. Because look, let me ask you this. How many months do we have in a year?
12.
How many days do we have in a week?
7.
Okay, and how many hours do we have in a day?
24.
Okay, if I'm feeling good, does that number change?
No.
If I'm feeling bad, does that number change? No. So the world is still going, right? And you sitting here just dragging yourself behind while everything else is pushing forward. You really want to be left behind?
And I feel like that's the most sorry existence you can have,
bro.
Especially as a man, is to let your emotions dictate what you do on a particular day. Because at that point, you're just...
But just imagine, right? Imagine you're a father, right? You have kids, right? And you're just like, man, I don't feel like going to work today. So guess what? My kids are not going to eat today.
Like, subhanAllah. And you know what's crazy is, you know, when in the Quran, you know that one verse that went viral? It was the Tanzanian verse where he's talking about Bani Israel, and they asked their prophet to bring up a king for them. Why did they ask him? Because they wanted to go and fight in the way of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded with, the prophet, I'm not sure. It's in the Quran. Responded with, perhaps have you like considered that if we were to bring up a king for you, that you would not go and fight for your women and children, and that you would allow them to be like, you know, killed and stuff like that. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did raise up for them a king, most of them didn't fight. Most of them turned away. And Allah is knowing of the wrongdoers. That is so scary to me, because we sit here and we talk a big talk, and we talk a big game on how, I'll defend my family, I'll do this. But it's actually evil in the sight of Allah if someone were to come into your house or if someone were to come to your home and you were to not fight them and you were to run away. It's evil.
Yeah,
because like...
Because you have a duty.
Not just the duty, but who is on your side. When you believe Allah to be on your side, you're not afraid of anything, because everything that you do in that moment will bring you closer to Allah somehow, some way, shape, or form. Because if that person ends up taking you out, right? You're going to be a shaheed. You're going to be a martyr. And the martyr, indeed, he's not someone who's dead. Only Allah knows exactly what happens to the martyrs after they're dead and what they are in the sight of their Lord. The same thing where if you do defend your home, look at the bounty of Allah, how he will increase you through that. Bro, like, now we're bringing something such as tawakkul in Allah, which is your trust in Allah. And when it comes to your everyday life, the way that you trust in Allah, you have to trust in Allah by doing action and then trusting Allah. It's not about trusting Allah and then waiting for something to happen, because that is tawakkul. Tawakkul is to trust in Allah without doing anything, thinking that you don't have to lift a finger for your provision to come to you.
What were you about to say?
I was going to say that this is something, especially when speaking about like finding yourself in university, like after university, or like what to do with your life, or how to find meaning in the day-to-day grind, is you have to understand that first you have to take responsibility for yourself, and then you can take responsibility. You'll find it will be like a positive cascade and mm-hmm. a positive feedback system into which then you will begin to take responsibility for other people. A lot of us, we neglect even ourselves. We neglect even the duty that we have to ourselves when it comes to even the prayer, even eating, even all these things. Like, we disrespect ourselves all the time.
Yeah. I mean, just tying into both of your points, having that tawakkul and then also, you know, being responsible for yourself. Your biggest thing is to always choose the halal route over the haram, right? And the perfect example of why is because whenever you always choose the halal route, it's always sufficient for you. Whenever you choose the haram route, it's never enough for you, right? And we have a perfect story of this in Surah Al-Baqarah, right? When it comes to Talut, Jalut, and, you know, Dawud alayhi salam. When it comes to, you know, Talut, right, the Muslim king at the time, right, he had his army, right? They were on their way to Jerusalem, right? And there was going to be this river, right? We know the story. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice, clean, beautiful river, right? However, it was made forbidden onto them to drink from it, right? More than a handful, right? So they went on, and most of them, they drank more than a handful, right? You know, going against what Talud and, you know, what Allah has made forbidden for them. And those people that drank more than that handful were the ones that their thirst was never, you know, quenched, right? However, the ones that actually followed the way of Talud and Allah, right? They only took a handful of water, yet their thirst was sufficient, right? They weren't thirsty anymore. That's just a perfect example of that. Or what we see today in today's world. If I'm out here making haram money, it doesn't matter, $1, $2, $3, $4, $5, $10 million, right? It's never going to be enough for me. I'm just going to always want more and more and more and more. Yet I might be here on a halal salary making, you know, six figures, and it's enough for me, my family, my kids, my everything, right? And I can still live a happy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Or, for example, how many water bottles should we drink in a day, right? I mean, even if you go crazy, right? You drink eight water bottles a day, you know, that's, you know, about a gallon of water, right? And that's a lot. But you see people, they go to the bar, they got 8, 9, 10 cups, and they just go all the way until they pass out, right? And that's a drink that's made been forbidden onto them, right? But yet they just don't stop. They don't stop. They don't stop. They don't stop until they completely blacked out. Like, just think about that route.
It's never enough.
Like, when you go the haram route, you'll never be sufficed with anything. Right. But when you go the halal route, you listen to Allah, you will be content with what you have. You're going to be happy with what you have. And in that, Allah will always give you more.
You got to think about how you define yourself with Islam, especially as a young person, because even for myself, a lot of people, they always ask me what I studied in college. And as much as I like what I studied and I'm passionate about it, especially if I can influence my area of study in a way that, you know, benefits Muslims, that's OK. But then I always think about what I'm actually passionate about. And like, my passion lies with, like, Islam and me being a Muslim, because that's where my self-improvement lies. That's where, like, I take all of my information from, right? Everything that I want to accomplish in my life, I want to root it in Islam. So that's going to be my first passion. That's going to be the first thing that I try to identify myself with. It's not with my area of study or with the career I have or whatever I've accomplished. It's what I've done as a Muslim and what I've done or what I've been trying to achieve and how I see my progression over the years, from the time where I felt far from Allah or I wasn't practicing as much to the time that I am now and where I see myself in my future. And when you can internalize these thoughts and these feelings to see how are these areas of study or how is this job or how is this person going to help you influence that religion within you, then you can actually find contentment in the day-to-day grind because you're rooted within exactly what you was created for, which is Islam. You're rooted in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whether you're studying hours for an exam or you're doing hours worth of classes or whatever, none of that is taking you away from the remembrance of Allah. None of that is taking you away from your prayer or from your responsibilities. And all of this is within moderation. It's not about overburdening yourself because the religion is easy. And when we actually internalize the fact that this religion is easy, you'll never find anything to be hard, especially once you've established the fard. It's never going to be hard for you because it's routine. This is a habit. Meaning it's just like waking up. It's just like going to the bathroom or brushing your teeth. That's what the prayer will essentially become once you've developed this habit, right? And it's not necessarily saying like you're going to be praying on time right away. Maybe you're just praying 5 times a day, but sometimes you make up these prayers because you're out of the house, you're not comfortable enough to pray outside, but then you come home and you pray. At least you did 5. Then eventually you're going to want to make sure you do it on time. You do it on time. Then you start adopting other types of works, acts of worship. And when you continue to do that and you see this progression within yourself, you're not going to be worried about whatever else is coming your way on your day-to-day. especially when it comes to being after college or being in between like those jobs. You know, what with the economy we have right now, people are struggling to find work and stuff like that.
That's one thing I wanted to talk about, is that when you're doing your fara'id and you're really deeply rooted in Islam, Islam is a religion of faith. You gotta, even though everything could look bad, you gotta have a little faith. Osman, you remember you ain't had no job, you don't have, like, you was jobless for a month, and then like a big opportunity came. It's like you gotta have a little bit of faith. It's same thing here. You want to start a podcast, you see the zero follower account, but you just gotta have a little faith. You gotta be able to see what other people can't see. And that's one thing I love though. Like I see a lot of Muslims, you know, they're joining into entrepreneurship, and I love that. Allahumma barik. But also do not forget the pursuit of knowledge, because that's one thing I love about the Islamic faith, is the preservation of knowledge. Whether it be through university, it doesn't just have to be through university. It could be through just your day-to-day life. If you're observant and you pay attention, and you ask yourself, why did this happen? Why did that happen? And you take, and you notice pattern recognition. Okay, you know this, you know, certain people do this, so I'm going to do that because I want to be like them. Those things all count as knowledge. The difference between where you want to be and like where you are right now is the know-how. It's just how do I do it?
Mm-hmm. That's true. Because look, people always ask me, oh yeah, why didn't you go to college, this and that? And then I'm just like, look, I may have not gone to college, but that doesn't mean education is not important to me. Still the most important factor. Like you ask me all the time. I'm always telling you, I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly always trying to move to that next step. You know, it doesn't have to be through only that lens, just like how you said. Mm-hmm. Like I'd rather have someone personally teaching me than obviously, you know, learning in a classroom. That doesn't make me better than the person that goes in the classroom. That just may be better for them. Sometimes people can't just sit down one-on-one and talk with somebody. Some people like to be in a group environment. You know what I mean? It just all depends. But at the end of the day, if the result is you're learning and you're getting better, then that's all that matters. It doesn't matter how you got there. As long as it's not hard on, then you're good.
Yeah, exactly. Bro,
people underestimate what knowledge actually is. Knowledge is also through habit. Meaning if you're someone who, when you pray, yeah, through your experience. Meaning if you're someone who prays, but you don't know what takes your focus away from the prayer. So you don't know when, like, you're lacking in khushu', what's happening, what's triggering you. And then you start to figure it out. And now whenever you lose khushu', you know how to bring it back throughout in the prayer so that you're getting the full reward. That's knowledge right there, because you developed a habit and you understood what triggered you. Same thing when you learn how to do a new habit that is pleasing to Allah, such as making more dhikr or making istighfar, and you make this thing a habit on a daily basis. You just learn something new. It doesn't necessarily have to be information, but you learned a habit that helps you in your day-to-day life, or it helps you feel closer to Allah. And if anything helps you feel closer to Allah and you start doing it, that is beneficial knowledge right there.
Man, that's such a great feeling whenever you look back and something was so hard on you and now all of a sudden it just becomes easy. Like, I remember there was a point where memorizing certain Quran verses, it's just very hard. Then it just got easier over time. Praying the 5 daily prayers was super hard, and then it got easier. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, and subhanAllah, if there's anyone out there struggling with their prayers, I want you to know that at some point, subhanAllah, I struggled too. And it wasn't until I looked at other people, and subhanAllah, this also happens with other acts of worship, whether it be Qiyam or Layl. Like, I remember seeing people in Ramadan, and I'd be like, for them, it looks so easy. They must know something that I don't. And subhanAllah, I would just look at them, I would observe them, I would ask my question, I'd be like, what am I lacking? It would cause me to say, like, astaghfirullah, perhaps there's something that I'm not thinking about, perhaps there's, like, I haven't been thinking about my sins enough, perhaps I haven't, like, there's something that I've done that they're feeling, I'm not feeling it. And I remember that it was the same thing what happened on October the 7th after that. And I remember hearing people make dua for Palestine. And I remember hearing them like cry. And I remember I was like, dude, like, subhanAllah, these were grown men. And I can hear them crying. I'm like, I have to feel what they're feeling. I have to have that type of love for my Muslim brothers and sisters. And it inspired me. It was that asking myself the question, the why.
Man, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Musa alayhi salam, like, even when the Prophet alayhi salam came down with just 5 prayers, didn't he even say that we even struggle with that? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, because from 50 all the way down to 5, and Musa alayhi salam still told him to go back to Allah and reduce it. But then the Prophet alayhi salam, out of shyness for how much he asked Allah to reduce it, out of difficulty, he was like, no, this is sufficient. But and Allah gave us the reward of 50 prayers when you do all 5.
But here's the thing though, like, I understand it may be hard, right? And obviously every single person was probably struggling with it at one point. But you got to also understand this. Allah is deserving of every single one of those prayers and more than that. Like, we can't worship him enough. Like, even if he prescribed the 50, even if it was 500, even if he created us from the moment that we were born to the moment that we die, and we were in prostration the whole time, like, that still is not what he's deserving of. He's deserving of a lot more, right? But yet, you know, we're just so weak, right? We get easily distracted, right? You know, sometimes, I hate the feeling that, oh, I might be putting something before Allah. Like, I don't want to, you know, be put in that situation where it's like, oh, man, like, I know the time of prayer has come, but I'm doing a test right now. Am I putting my test before Allah? Like, I hate those types of thoughts. You know what I mean? I don't know if you guys get those types of thoughts, but
of course. But then you also, I also like to remember that Allah will never aim difficulty for you. So no matter what's happening, if that intention is in your mind, right? And like, let's say, oh, I have a test at the time of prayer, so I'm going to pray asr a little bit later than I was expecting. Will Allah punish you for that? No, because that's not your intention. Your intention was to do this thing. You had a responsibility. There was an amanah on you. You have to like abide by that. These are certain things that we make more difficult upon ourselves because, like, if Allah aimed to punish you in that moment, He would have done it. That's just what the reality of what it is. That whenever you try to do something for the sake of Allah, you're already rewarded. SubhanAllah. Like, we don't ever like truly think of that. And also when it comes to the prayer, especially with like finding beauty in the everyday life, it goes to who you're surrounding yourself with. If you're surrounding yourself with people who are possibly doing better than you in terms of their religion, you're going to end up doing better in your religion just by default. Meaning if they're like influencing you to do good, or they're telling you, hey, let's go to the masjid or this and that. If you're someone who says no, then you're a negative influence on them. But if you're someone who, like, when they tell you, hey, let's go do this, and you're like, okay, bet. Even though, let's say, you weren't thinking about going to the masjid that day or praying any prayers at the masjid or whatever, but you end up going to do that, imagine that. And imagine that feeling that comes with that when you feel that iman, that sweetness of faith, when you're going to pray to Allah and you're doing it with someone who you love for the sake of Allah, right? So it's so important to surround yourself with people you love for the sake of Allah, not just people who make you feel good, who give you a good laugh, but it's people you genuinely are like, bro, you're a good friend for me. And beyond just like me feeling pleasure to be around you, but the fact that when I'm with you, I feel closer to Allah. Like, the conversations we have, they're good conversations, but then we also know that when the time to prayer comes, we're getting up and praying. Even when I feel like I'm struggling, I know that when you're there, or when you're struggling, you know that I'm there. If you guys can be that level of like companionship for each other, because you're going to find companionship in a spouse. But the Prophet ﷺ had sahaba for a reason. He had companions for a reason. And he helped elevate them. And they also kept him elevated as well, because they gave him that support.
They protected him. They did a lot.
They gave him that support. They gave up everything for the sake of Allah, and so that they can support the Prophet ﷺ and his mission.
Yeah.
So I want you to think of that when it comes to your friends. Like, if you guys were to have to go fight for Islam, would you guys be giving everything up to fight for the sake of Allah alongside this person? Are you willing to go to battle alongside this person? I know that's a little extreme, but it's just how you think about who your friends are and who you want to surround yourself with are people that you want to see in Jannah at the end of the day. Because for everyone, for every single person that is in your life, your parents, you want to see them in Jannah, your siblings, your friends, and your spouse, your children, you want to see all of them in Jannah. So if you really want that, then you're going to try to surround yourself with people who help you feel elevated, and you can help them feel elevated.
And not only that, you would feel shame. With your true friends, you kind of feel shame when you don't do good. Like, you kind of feel shame when you're not living up to a standard that you put yourself to, and you're like, how could I do that? Like, you guys understand what I'm saying here. Maybe you can put it in better words for me, but I feel ashamed.
Like I mentioned earlier, the whole world is moving forward and yet you're still behind. Just imagine, like, everybody that you hang around, they're doing such great things. And then you sit in there, you just complacent with what exactly, like, does that not make you feel a certain way? Does that not make you feel like, man, I got to do better? You know what I mean? Or I can't let them do better than me. In a healthy way, not in a toxic way, not like, hey, like, you know, I want this person to lose what they have just for me to get. No. Like, you should want more for them and more for yourself. That's it. You know what I mean? You should want the good for both parties.
We should also understand that, like, look at the habits that help elevate people that are even non-Muslims. When they talk about the habits that help them become successful, you see them all rooted in Islam. People who say they wake up early or they don't procrastinate. But then if you're someone who sees that you procrastinate and you've seen that you've been someone like that for a couple of years now, and you don't know exactly, or you haven't even tried your best to get rid of that habit, and you're just okay with it, knowing like, oh, I'm a procrastinator, or I get lazy, this and that, but you don't do anything about it, then you're going to be wondering why you're not going anywhere in life, or you're not excelling at the pace that you want to be, because you're not working on yourself hard enough. The more that you work on your relationship with Allah, the more you have to work on those habits that Allah loves. Because the habits that Allah loves is how you're going to attain Allah's love. That's something you have to really think about. Something I think about often, actually, is even when I do feel lazy or I'm procrastinating, I'd rather make dua than not do anything. I'd rather read Quran than not do anything. I'd rather make dhikr than not do anything. Just because if I'm feeling lazy and I don't want to do any actual work, let me do something that helps me try to find the pleasure of Allah, even when it's hard in that moment too. even when I'm not feeling it as much because I'm just feeling lazier or something. I'm feeling tired or whatever.
You're making something of the moment that you're in. Like, man, subhanAllah, isn't that crazy? Like, you could really feel like you're not doing anything, and then you could just completely 360 and turn it around and make it the best thing that you've done all day. But just think about it. It takes you a couple minutes out of the day to say subhanAllah wa bihamdihi, subhanAllah al-azim. You say that both like 100 times, and then all of a sudden, like all your sins are and like you just did that in the span of 5-10 minutes, right? And you have a whole 24 hours in the day, and you tell me you just wiped out an entirety of sins. Just think about that.
Let's give multiple examples, matter of fact, okay? You can say subhanAllah wa bihamdi 100 times, subhanAllah wa bihamdi, subhanAllah al-azim. You can say after you eat, alhamdulillah alladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqani min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwah. These are all things that when you say them a certain amount of times, or you say them one time in a certain situation, we're told your previous sins would be forgiven. You say astaghfirullah, your sins are forgiven. You say that more, you're going to get blessed. You're going to get, Allah's going to increase you. He's going to grant you those blessings that you're seeking. What else? You say subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar 33 times. You end it with la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. After every fard prayer, sins are forgiven. You say ayatul kursi after every fard prayer.
You're granted Jannah.
The only thing standing between you and Jannah is death. Like, these are things that Allah has made it so, like, quote unquote, easy for you to attain His pleasure, His forgiveness, His mercy, and Jannah, of course, by His mercy. And we see it as something difficult, which is okay, because if it is difficult and you still do it, you're rewarded even more so. But when you are able to establish it as a habit and a routine, and you do your best to keep your focus there when you do it, because even for myself, like, sometimes I'm making dhikr and I'm just not as mindful of like what I'm saying, but I know I'm getting rewarded, but I'm like, okay, if I want the full reward, you got to be fully mindful, just like when you're trying to pray and you're trying to be fully mindful. But these are things that will help you attain the pleasure of Allah. And in hindsight, when you start establishing it, it's not that hard. You're like, wow, man, this is not even that hard. I could just say these things. Like, I could tell you right now, to make at least 1,000 adhkar in a day, it could take like 10, 15 minutes. Not even, depending on what you're saying.
But here's the thing, though. You don't even have to do it all at once. Exactly. Break it up during the day. You could do some at Fajr time, Dhuhr time, Asr time, Maghrib time, Isha time. And then look at that. You already done with the 5 daily prayers. You did adhkar all throughout the day. And you remembered Allah all throughout the day.
And those are the most righteous deeds that Allah loves. Like, when Allah tells you He loves the doers of good, He loves the people who try to attain righteousness, it starts with His remembrance. That is the most beloved thing to Allah, is His remembrance. It starts with the prayer, goes to the Quran, and again, it goes to those kalimas, to those words that Allah loves, like those words of remembrance. And then the next things that you have after that are like salawat and making dua for yourself and your family and all the Muslims. These are all things that are so beloved to Allah. And then let's not even forget, these outward acts of worship are amazing, but they're not... like, they're not more important than your character and who you are, how you deal with people, because you're rewarded very much for that. And we know the ahadith talking about good character and how much of your faith it actually is. Because we can all establish, we can all learn how to do outward acts of worship, but learning how to have good character is something truly from the bounty of Allah.
We know the story about the woman where she worshipped Allah, she prayed, you know, she did all her adhkar. But yeah, she would curse her neighbors. She wouldn't speak right. And they asked the Prophet ﷺ about her, and he said that she's in the fire.
SubhanAllah. It actually tells, like, I'm trying to, like, remember some of the hadith that speak about character. It's like, isn't it, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a hadith that talks about how character is like half of your faith?
I don't know.
Or a part of your... Anybody?
Look, half of your faith, I've heard things like cleanliness.
I've heard a lot.
But I don't know. Cleanliness is definitely part of your character, but I'm just saying.
I know there's also a hadith that speaks about, like, the best of my ummah are those with the best character. There's that one as well. But regardless, the way that we act with people are akhlaq, like, That is part of attaining true taqwa, which is God consciousness. Because when you're conscious of how you deal with people and, like, how kind you are, leading with mercy, trying to be compassionate and loving towards another person, then that is how you are able to attain Allah's pleasure and His love. Because if you can show people that who you are as a Muslim, and it helps you elevate yourself and them, then Allah will elevate you. And when you're elevated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then not only will these acts of worship be something that you can establish, but you'll be loved by the people in a way that they love you for the sake of Allah. And when you're loved by other people, bro, imagine they're all making dua for you. So, why are you guys laughing?
He's lying. I check my imaginary watch because
you guys are distracting me, bro.
Because we gotta go.
I'm trying to get benefit out here, and these guys are distracting me by laughing, bro. Like, you guys should start scolding them in the comments. Dude.
He's talking about scolding. We should be scolding him. If y'all knew the situation we were in right now, I ain't gonna say it. But look, if y'all knew the situation we're in right now, then that's gonna conclude today's episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this. Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know his life you could change by sharing this. We're still students of knowledge, we're not scholars. So with that being said, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Hope you guys took some benefit, inshallah. But yeah.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.